All right. Well, am I on in the speakers? All right. Technical difficulties. Caleb's going to do that. Testing one. There we go. Now we got sound. Thank you, Caleb. All right. This is what we're going to do this evening. We're just going to get into the Word today. Y'all are going to get the Word. We're going to bypass praise and worship. I hope that on the way over here, you were in an attitude and a posture of praise. So already here, you're already ready to go. Now, I know Deanne was at, you were at the ladies' thing this morning, right? Yes. I thought I saw your car when I'd rolled by. So Deanne's ready to go. She got praise going on, so she's ready to go. So we're just going to jump into the Word today. I'm going to say what I need to say, and then I want to get out y'all's way. However that looks or however long that looks, we're just going to do what God's called us to do this evening. But before we do, just a quick few announcements. Usually I save this for either the beginning, before we even go live, or after service. But today, we got a bunch of folks missing today, so please keep everybody in prayer. We have some, Laura, she is traveling, so she's gone. Keep her in your prayers for safe travels. Tiffany had a wisdom tooth extraction yesterday, so keep her in your prayers. She's recovering from that. And, of course, Cindy, she is recovering. She broke her toe, so she is on the injured reserve list. So please keep her in your prayers. So we got a bunch of folks missing today, but that's all right. We still going to do what we do. So what I wanted to do is kind of go over the schedule of August real briefly. So today is August 1st, and I will reiterate again, just so everybody knows what's going on for the month of August, because it's going to look a little different since for a whole week we'll be out in Georgia for the revival down there. And so I just want to make sure that everybody's clear on what we will be doing. So today is August 1st. Of course, we have service tonight. And then Thursday, August 6th, we will have our regular scheduled Bible study as we continue to walk through the book of Genesis. We will have it that week. And then our last Saturday that we will be in here till the end of August will be Saturday, August 8th. We will be here in this building. Now, here's where it starts getting a little interesting. Starting Wednesday, August 12th through the 15th. So August 12th is a Wednesday, Thursday the 13th, and then Friday the 14th, and then Saturday the 6th, the 15th. We will all be at everybody's church at 7 o'clock. So Thursday the 13th, we will not have our regular Bible study that we have. We will cancel it. And we will just all come together at everybody's church at 7 o'clock. We're going to have a revival before we go to revival. And then Saturday, August 15th, we will not be in this room again. We're still going to have church. We're just moving venues. We won't be in here, but we will be at everybody's church. I will be sharing that night, and that will be at 7 o'clock, which is a little bit later, cooler for those who got to drive. And closer. Deanne said, amen. Hallelujah. So we will be there. So we won't be here. We will still do our regular. We just won't have regular service like we do here. It will be at everybody's church. And then that Sunday, right after church, me and my family are burning off to Georgia. We're going to spend a couple of days in Panama City Beach, Florida. And then we'll meet up with everybody else in Albany, Georgia. But then the 22nd Saturday, that is technically our family Saturday. We won't have service anyway, so it kind of worked out. We will not be together. And then Thursday, August 20th, of course, since we'll be in Georgia, we will not have our Thursday Bible study. And then once we get back, starting August 27th, we'll be back to our regular schedule on Thursday and on Saturday. Now, in September, we'll do a little bit of shifting again for on a Saturday. We will be going with everybody's church to the women's tea thing that y'all are doing. Don't know what y'all are doing. I'm just going with pastor and all the deacons and all the men. I'm going to go hang out with them. So we're going to switch church schedule that month, but I'll let everybody know. So with that being said, let's pray, and then we're going to get into the word for this evening. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for tonight. Lord, I ask that you be with those that weren't able to make it today. Lord, give Laura traveling mercy and grace as she travels with her family, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you would be with Cindy. Give her strength, Lord. We just ask that you strengthen her body, Lord, and that she would take this time to spend it with you, Lord. And we just ask that you would be with Tiffany. And your word says that your grace is sufficient. Lord, be with Tiffany as she recovers from wisdom tooth extraction, Lord. We thank you that she went, she got all that done, and that you were with her. We thank you for the open doors that you made for her to get that procedure done, Lord. We say thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, Father, as we get into your word, we just ask that we come this evening with empty hands, Lord, not thinking what we don't know, but asking the question, what don't I know? What can I learn more about you and your word this evening? Father, we bless your name in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, this evening I'm just gonna talk to you this evening. I think. And we'll just go with however long needs to go until either God says stop or we finish up. But all week I've been meditating on the Lord and just asking, all right, Lord, what is for your people? And we started off pretty much going through a long series and setting a foundation with Paul in the book of Romans chapter 8. And we got the foundation of who God is, how much he loves us, what he's done for us. So now, therefore, there is no excuse for us to act a fool. Paul says that there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We found out that we now have life in the Spirit. We've been justified. Paul talks about how we are now adopted as sons and daughters. And then he finishes it up, and I'm paraphrasing, he finishes up with, we are more than conquerors. So now that we got the foundation of who God is, how much he loves us, what he's done for us, now we have to make a decision. And a couple weeks ago, we started talking about the cost of discipleship. Okay, he's delivered you out of junk, out of the miry clay. He delivered you from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. So now the question, as Jesus asked the multitude, he talks about, now you got to count the cost. And so as we continue our way through this text and through the scripture, I was asking the Lord, Lord, what are you wanting for your people? And he started talking to me about being prepared. And part of my job as a pastor, and part of my job is to make sure that you are prepared for judgment. It's not to give you fluff so you can get excited, so you can live the best life here and now. But my job is to make sure that you are prepared for judgment. My job is to make sure that you hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, I can lead a horse to water. I can tell you the truth, but it's up to you to follow the instructions. And a lot of folks, they want the benefits without the sacrifice. And so this evening, we're going to talk about the title of my message is Follow the Instructions. You see, it's really simple to follow the instructions and follow what God has for us. I always thought it was hard, but once you mature, and I'll say it this way, it's easy to follow God's instructions, but what makes it hard is your will. That's what makes it hard. But when you give up your will, because Jesus showed that you can give up your will and follow the instructions to a T, and it can be done. But what makes it hard for us is because we got a will that doesn't want to follow the instructions. So tonight I'm going to speak to you about follow the instructions. Now, we've all heard the phrase, especially you've been with me for a while, you've been at everybody's church and been around Pastor Daryl or anybody from everybody's church. You've heard the phrase, all execution, no interpretation. All execution and no interpretation. You see, execution here means doing what is commanded. Interpretation means inserting your own meaning, adjustments, exception, expectations, or substitutions. And what I mean by that is God gives us a command, but yet we want to add our own meaning. What does that really mean, God? We want to add in our own adjustments. Okay, we'll follow you, but can I do this? Can I take so-and-so? Can I stay with so-and-so? Can I only give half of this? Can I? We have all these excuses. We want to give our own expectations or our own substitution. I'll follow you, God, but can I substitute loving that person with doing this or doing? We want to substitute stuff and treat him like a Chinese menu. In other words, we must carry out the instructions exactly as they are given, without changing it according to your own preference, reasoning, or opinion. Now, I'm going to go kind of slow-ish this evening, I'm just going to make sure, because I want to make sure everybody gets to this. Because in my prayer and meditation this week, God really was emphasizing, my people don't follow instructions. And it's going to lead on to some other stuff, too, in the following weeks. We're going to get to Hosea. Not tonight. But today we have folks thinking they can do whatever they want. They interpret God according to their own preferences, their own reasoning, their own opinions. Folks are looking, and I'm guilty of this, too, being younger. Folks are looking for a loophole or an exemption. They're looking. God is a ABC, 1, 2, 3, God. This is the instructions. You follow it this way. But folks want to bypass. Well, I want to bypass step 2. I want to bypass step B. I want to bypass something. I want to get to the end, but I don't want to do it that way. I want to bypass it. Everybody wants to be blessed and prosperous. They want Jesus as Savior, but they do not want the suffering that comes along with it. They want Jesus, but they don't want to die to themselves. They don't want to bear their cross. They don't want to give up their will, or shall I say, you don't want to give up your will and obey. Great example is, oh man, over these past couple weeks, if you've been on Facebook, you've seen people blasting. But I mean, and it's nothing new. Jesus said it's all throughout Scripture that there'll be false teachers, false doctrines. There's all these people saying crazy nonsense. And what it is people are trying to bypass the way God establishes and set up things. You can do this. You can be this. You can be, here's your healing. Here, do this. All this false nonsense. Actually, I heard something the other day. I had to do some work, and I was watching this video, and this person on there was talking about forgiveness and healing and stuff like that. And they said, you don't have to forgive, but it's beneficial if you do. I said, whoa. I said, well, right there, you're going to send a lot of people to hell. I said, that's not how that works. But you see, people want the healing, but they don't want to follow the instructions on how. Hey, you want your healing? You got to forgive. You want heaven? You got to forgive. There's a principle. God is a God of principles, and there's ways that he does things. And if you don't do them that way, you're going to miss the train. Therefore, because we do our own things, we don't follow instructions. We don't obey. We try to do things in our own strength. And here's the proof in the pudding. Life gets hard and messier than it should be because we try to do it out of order. We try to do it without following the instructions. I'm pretty guilty of this in the sense that, you know, my wife likes to buy stuff from, we haven't in a while, but she'll like to buy stuff from IKEA. And you get the picture. Now, most husbands are notorious for this. Do we look at the instructions? No, we look at the picture. Ah, we got this. Here's the all put together furniture. I don't need the instructions. And guess what happens? Something falls out. Something falls apart. I'm notorious. I have to go. I'll put something together. And I look at it. Oh, man, I got to put another shelf in. I got to put a cross beam, or I got to put a brace here. And found out that I missed a step. And I have to go back. That's what happens so many times, is that life gets harder because we want to skip a step. Let me give you an example. In Japanese delicacy, there's a food called fugu. And it is a puffer fish found in Japan. And let me read you this. In Japan, only licensed chefs are permitted to serve fugu. And preparation is outlawed in Japan. There's a rigorous program, particularly in Tokyo, where the requirements are among the strictest. Chefs must undergo 2 years of specialized training before taking the licensing exam, which consists of two stages. One is a written test, which includes identification of different species and their anatomy, as well as the toxicity or the TTX levels. While the second is a technical examination where chefs must demonstrate their ability to properly gut the fish. I'm going somewhere with this. Now, to make it more difficult, apprentices settle for training fugu that are frozen. And the performance must be completed within 20 minutes. Even the smallest trace of blood results in failure. And only about 35% of applicants pass. Why do you have to go through this? Because if fugu is a poisonous fish, if you prepare it wrong, you'll kill somebody. So you have people, and I was looking at the statistics. It's down to less, for those who prepare properly, they've gotten it down to less than 10 people a year. But the folks who died, guess who did it? Somebody who was unlicensed. Somebody who didn't know what they're doing. Somebody who didn't follow instructions. We must learn to follow instructions. And I find it funny that the world has enough sense to follow instructions, but we don't. If you have your Bibles with me, I want you to open them up to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. You want your life to be less messy? Let's follow the instructions. God gives us clear instructions through Scripture. And this is what Chapter 5, verse 33 of Deuteronomy says. It says, "Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess." I don't know about you, but that seems like a very well-structured how to live long. How to make sure that your days are blessed. How to make sure that you are prosperous. It's real simple. Walk in the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you. Pretty simple, right? So let me give you the context and the central meaning of this. You see, this is teaching, Moses is teaching his people, the children of Israel, that obedience is not merely an idle action, but it is an entire manner of life. Israel was committed to remain on the path God has prescribed so that they might experience covenant life, well-being, and continued possession of the land. I hope you're seeing that God's giving instructions. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. The verse follows a very clear movement. You have God's commands, Israel walks, and then life and covenant well-being follow. I'm giving you literally the cheat code. I love how God gives us the answers to the test right here. But so many times we are busy, we have excuses, or we don't want to look at the answers to the test. We just think we already know it. So this is not a teaching about or a teaching that obedience earns redemption. You see, God has already redeemed and delivered Israel from Egypt before he gave his commandments. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6, it says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Check this out. Follow me. If the children of Israel were commanded to live this way, what makes you think the rules don't apply to you? If they had to do it, don't give me, oh, that's Old Testament, that's God's chosen people. What? No, no, no. We've been grafted in. So guess what? If it applied for them in this aspect, following God's precepts, what gives us the Gentiles right to be saying, hey, we can live any old way. We don't have to follow those. We don't have to follow those commandments. You see, deliverance here produced obligation. Israel was not obeying in order to become redeemed. Israel was to obey God because he had already redeemed them and entered covenant with them. In other words, God's not expecting the sinner to follow his precepts and his law. What he does is pull you out, and then out of love, out of this God, we're going to be your disciple, you get everything else, then it produces obedience and following instruction for us. He pulls us out the miry clay. So therefore, thank you, God. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to follow you. But so many times we cut ourselves short. I mean, some folks have died earlier because they didn't follow God's command. When life gets crazy and it gets really jacked up and you feel like, what's going on? Ask yourself, did I follow direction? Did I follow the instruction? You see, you can't get mad at a doctor who gives you instructions on how to take medicine, but you disregard the instructions and you get sick or die. You can't get mad at the doctor. My wife just got her wisdom tooth pulled. She only got one done. Under sedation, got up, I go in, they're waking her up from sedation. I go into the little room and the doctor came in. He says, are you the husband? I said, yes, sir. And he pulls out a piece of paper, sits down. He says, let me give you the instructions, the aftercare instructions. I said, yes, sir. The aftercare instructions were today, just drink liquids. I know she's hungry, just drink liquids. And then tomorrow, do semi-soft. And then by Sunday, you can go all at it. Okay, cool. Then he says, I'm also sending you some pain pills. Take them directly as it says. Please tell your wife, do not drive, do not operate heavy machinery. He didn't tell me what he's giving her, but the way he was acting, I was like, man, what are you giving her? Then once I saw, I was like, oh, okay. But he gives us the aftercare instructions. So we go home, we go to HEB, we pick up, and the little pill bottle says, take one pain pill, 4 to 6 hours, whatever they are. Now, if Tiffany was in so much, now she was in a lot of pain. She was crying and boo-hoo and all that stuff. Because not only did she get a wisdom tooth, they shaved the bone, which now you get into nerve ending. It was bad. All because of a botched dentist job. But that's another story. But here's the point I'm making. It doesn't matter how much pain that she's in. If she decided, you know what? Screw the doctor's instructions. I'm going to take this whole bottle. I'd be going to Georgia by myself. God gives us the instructions on I'll say it like this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He gives us the aftercare instructions. And he says, just follow them and you'll be all right. But we want to bypass the instructions. So if Tiffany bypasses the instructions, gets sick, whatever, liver fails, die, she can't get mad at the doctor. But that's what the church does. They get out of line, but they want to get mad at God. Don't get mad. Don't get mad at your mechanic when he tells you how to run your car and how to do preventive maintenance. Hey, I need you to, I got plenty of examples. One of my brothers, he had a nice Ford Mustang. The instruction is put gas in it, get the oil change, follow the maintenance schedule, and you'll be, it was a bad Mustang. Two doors, one, ooh. Oh, nice. But guess what he decided to do? I'm going to bypass the oil changes. Matter of fact, I'm not going to put oil in. I'm just going to let it roll. Until one day he's driving down the street. Bah! Engine blows up. Done. He bypassed the instructions. Let me go further. Don't get mad at the preacher who tells you how to live your life properly, but you say, you know, I'm not going to follow those instructions, and you get all out of line and out of whack. Don't get mad at the preacher. I told you what to do. The good, and I'm not talking about any preacher. I'm talking about a preacher who's actually giving the word. Don't get mad when stuff goes haywire because you didn't listen. At the end of the day, as I speak truth, you can't get to him and be like, well, I didn't know. Yeah, you did know. There's things my dad taught me that I can't say, even though he told me. I tried to say, well, I didn't know. Yeah. And I'll even tell you, I'm going to be open with y'all. Pastor Darrell's hard on me. Well, I didn't know that. Josh, yes, you did. You can't say your father didn't tell you. You didn't want to listen. Yes, sir. You got me on that one. Don't get mad at God because he's giving you the instructions on how to live your life and you fail to follow instructions and then stuff gets out of whack. Stuff always gets out of whack and we want to blame the devil. Ah, the devil did this. Temptation did this. There's a devil, there's a demon did this. And say like, I didn't even do nothing. You trying to blame me for something I didn't even do this time. That was you. Am I making sense? Am I speaking to somebody today? So, you're telling me that the world has enough sense to follow instructions. Let me go a little bit deeper. I want to show you something tonight. Even in Satan's kingdom, there is a hierarchy and everybody follows instructions. Nobody is running around doing what they want to do. There's order in his kingdom. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 28. And he's talking about a house divided cannot stand. So even Jesus say, even his kingdom has order. They follow instruction. Why? Let me tell you where Satan, let me tell you where Lucifer learned about following instructions in order. He learned them from God. Oh, I'm going to get to some stuff. Don't worry about this. I'm going to give you a little taste. I'm going to wet your whistle a little bit. So Lucifer, he was a cherub. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 14 through 15, it says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so that was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." You see, cherubs are not presented in Scripture as ordinary messenger angels. Their primary function is connected to God's holiness, the throne, His presence, His glory, and guarding of sacred boundaries. In other words, they guarded access to the holy space. Before Lucifer fell, guess what? You wanted to get to God, you go through him. Bet you didn't know that. That was God's man. You need to get to God, you had to go through him. Not only that, he attended and surrounded God's throne. So because he was in that atmosphere, he saw how God operated. He saw how order's done. He saw how when people follow instruction, how stuff operates. Not only that, they bearing or support the throne of God. So Lucifer was right there and saw how God operated. He was taught, he saw, he understood. He saw order and he saw how things operate when instructions are followed. Matter of fact, because he was in close proximity to God, he heard and saw things other created beings weren't privy to. So I'll say this, as I was writing this down, man, God gave me something, I was like, woo! So even in his pride, sin, and twistedness, his kingdom operates with order and following instructions. So I'll say this. I want everybody to listen very closely. All of heaven follows instructions. Jesus followed his own Father's instructions. Even our greatest enemy follows instructions. This is what I want everybody to hear. When I was writing this, I heard God say, he said, "Man is the only thing I have created that has not followed my instructions." Boy, that got me. I'll say that again for those in the upper balcony. Everything follows God's instructions, the angels, the created order, the wind, the trees, animals, Satan, his king, everybody follow. He said, "Man is the only thing I have created that does not follow my instructions." You see, God's instructions is not a fence around a good life. It is the shape of it. Now, let me explain something to you. In other words, it's not to keep you out of the good life, but it's to keep you in the good life. Now, I want to tell you something that I learned from my dad. Man, this, I didn't understand until I got older. I went over to go run over and go tell him. I just wanted to give him a big hug and say thank you. And they I didn't know they went out, so they went out and got an empty house. Like, oh, man. But I treasure everything that my dad taught me, the foundation. You see, my dad, Pastor Marty, taught me things. Even when we had a ministry, we had staff, there was things he told me he didn't tell everybody else. There was things that he showed and taught that he even tell my brothers. Just stuff, being together, working on cars, just in the intimate, quiet times that he would show me. And at the time, I didn't understand what he was saying. And it didn't make sense till I got older and I matured, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is what he said. He said, "God's instructions is not a fence around a good life. It is the shape of it. And the 10th commandment proves it. A fence would have stopped at thou shall not steal. Only a father shaping a son says thou shall not even want it. Now I'm going to explain this again. Just give me a second. Now, when my dad was a children's pastor many years ago, enable to the children or young folks to remember the Ten Commandments, even how I remembered it, is he would make a picture out of whatever the commandment was. So if it was commandment number one, thou shalt have no other God, he would say it's put first place. So it'd be a first place ribbon. Thou shalt not kill. He had a picture of the six. It looked like a cannon. Thou shalt. So there we had pictures. Now, when you got to 10, it was a fence. Boy, I'm tired. I can't make this stuff. I got so excited today. The picture that he drew, thou shalt not covet, was a fence. And on one side, you had your grass, but on the other side, the grass is green. And he would say, hey, number 10, we know it as adults, thou shalt not covet. Well, what does a kid know about that? He would say, thou shalt not. He would say, the grass is always green. And then he'd go and explain it. So this is where I started seeing the fence. And I was like, man, I can't believe he was telling me this deep stuff. And a picture, and I didn't even understand it. Guess what? A bunch of folks didn't even get it. So this is what he was saying. So in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet his beast and all that. So the 10th commandment is the only one that cannot be prosecuted. Follow me now. I'm going to go real slow on this. So, no court in human history has convicted a man of coveting. There's no evidence, there's no witness, there's no act. Every other commandment eventually shows up on a hand that is struck. Thou shalt not murder, you killed somebody. Thou shalt not steal, they took. Thou shalt not, bear false witness, so wrote a false name on a page. The 10th never leaves the chest or the heart. I'm going somewhere. Whoa, it's about to get deep. So if the law were merely a fence, the 10th commandment was a wasted post. A fence stops the hand that reaches. The 10th doesn't stop the hand. It goes after the wanting that moved the hand in the first place. I didn't know my dad was that deep. And he was just telling me, and I was too immature. Woo! So, this is what he's saying. That's not a fence. That's a father shaping his son. You got that, D. I saw you got that. The covet, do not covet. It's God. He's shaping us. He said, I don't even want to get you there to where your hand is reaching. I want to get you right here in the heart. Before it even takes place, I'm going to shape you into the image of my son. Woo-hoo-hoo. So therefore, what folks perceived as punishment, oh, this gets good. What folks perceived as punishment or God keeping the best for himself, following instructions and walking in obedience, God is saying, when you do these things, you already have the best. But the enemy wants you to think that on the other side of the fence, that's where the good stuff is at. I can go home with that. I can go home with that. Boy, my dad dropped some knowledge. Let me give you an example. Husbands look for something better. They look at little Miss Sister Fufu over there in the little string bikini. They look at you go on TikTok, you go on Instagram. You got all these girls flaunting all their stuff. And men desire and want thinking, this is what I want. It's better than what I have. But what God is saying, hey, I've already gave you what's perfect for you. So therefore, when husbands think you have husbands that cheat, that do stuff they're not supposed to, and they realize, I actually had it better at home. Think I'm lying? Wives, they look for something better. They're looking and they find a man that listens to them, that seems That seems like he cares, that he's loving, that he's soft-spoken, that he's this and that. She feels like he's given me all that I desire. And God's like, no, no, no. I've already given you the perfect mate at home. But you're looking on the other side, thinking the grass is greener, until something happens and you realize, I had the best already. He was right there in bed with me. He was right there in the car. You have young people that look at social media influence thinking that this is what it's about. Traveling, going to Bora Bora, Tahiti, being at the life of all the parties. The enemy saying, look, it's better over here. When God say, no, the good life is right here. Right where I placed you. If you follow my instructions, if you just listen, the good life is right here. Church folks see churches with the lights, the fog machine, the sensationalism, the Kawasaki, the Suzuki's, all the stuff, and they think that's where they need to be. You think that your little church is not adequate enough when God is saying they're teaching the word, you're right where you need to be. This is the best place. Does that make sense? Is there an understanding so I can move on? That's what my dad taught me. And it didn't make sense until I got older and I understood. To be quite honest, it didn't really make sense. And I'll be real vulnerable with me. It didn't make sense till I messed up and I did stuff on my own. When I didn't follow the instructions, and then I realized, actually, I had it better over here. What the heck was I thinking? So why does following God's instruction matter? You might say, well, he just wants to control. He wants to be a dictator. He wants to be. No, there's a reason why instructions matter. Number one, because the deliverance comes first. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, it says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. The commandments open with rescue already accomplished. Israel does not obey to get out of Egypt. Israel obeys because Egypt is already behind them. Obedience is never the price of the relationship. It is the shape of the relationship already given. Number two. Because instruction is not just information. It is life. We're good at information. We live in an information world. You want to go learn something, you go ChatGPT, Claude, OpenClaw. You could even build a council LLM and have Gronk all them. And they can give you the information that you need. We live in an information society. So number two is because instruction is not information, it is life. Deuteronomy 32:47 says, for it is not a vain thing for you because it is your life. Deuteronomy 30:19, therefore choose life. So, the Bible is presented, and we've all heard this before. I've heard it so many times being in church. Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Excuse me. So, the Bible is presented as the operating instructions for a creature made by the one who wrote them. I'll say that again slower. The Bible is the operating instructions for a creature, that's us, made by the one who wrote them. Ignoring it is not notness. It's dumb. It's stupid. It is running a machine against its design. You're trying to run this machine without the instruction book right here. It's really that simple. I don't care if it's your relationships, how to run your marriage, your sexual relationship with your wife, your spouse, your husband or your wife, your job, whatever. All the instructions are literally right here. It's the owner's manual to you. But in Western thinking and just us as people, what do? When you buy a grill, when you buy something, where usually does your instruction manual go? If you even read it, gets thrown away. I bought MacBooks and Mac Apple, you know, Apple products. Guess where all my instruction books are at? In the trash. Hey, Shiloh, go sit with Dakota. Ashley, you come sit right here. Number three, because hearing without doing is not hearing at all. This is where hearing becomes lethal. The one who hears and does not do has, in Hebrew terms, not heard. Matthew 7:26 says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth not them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." You see, Jesus is speaking Hebrew through Greek words. Both men in the parable heard, but only one of them, biblically speaking, heard. In other words, in Hebrew mindset, if you heard, you do. The one guy who built a sand, both men heard the instruction, but only one actually did something about it. Number four, because obedience is what love looks like when it has a body. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. John 14:15 says, if ye love me, keep my commands. So the hearer moves without a seam for love, without a seam from love to commandment. Oh, sorry, number four. Because obedience is what love looks like when it has a body. In other words, affection that never becomes obedience in the Hebrew mind frame is just sentiment. It's not love. It's really that simple. We say we love God, but we disobey him at every turn. We say we love God, but we always want to argue, complain, finagle. We say we love God, but all God's like, man, he really don't love me. Because those who love him, when God gives an instruction, we follow, we do, no questions asked. Number five, because forgotten instruction destroys a people. Oh man, God gave me a lot this week, and I'm like, Lord, what? And he started putting it all together, and it's all about to just, we're about to see a seamless flow. Because forgotten instruction destroys the people. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, seeing thou hast forgotten thy law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. This one's a big one. And we're going to get into Hosea here in the next week or so. But note that the generational clause, neglected instructions does not merely damage the neglector. When you don't listen to instructions, Deanne, it doesn't just affect you. It disinherits the children. That is the covenant lawsuit's sharpest edge. And it is the argument for why the church teaches its young people the text rather than entertaining them. It is imperative that we stop teaching entertainment and teach the text, because guess what? We don't teach, man, they're going to lose their inheritance. They're going to lose the truth. We've been there. I've been to churches. We were part of churches where it was just entertainment. It was just entertainment. And I look at some of them now. Don't even know who God is, living their life because it was all an entertainment. Number six, because obedience is what God actually asked for. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, it says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." The word here, obey, is Shema. Saul substituted religious activity for hearing. Every generation finds a new way to do the same thing. Ain't nothing new under the sun. Every generation finds a new way of how to not hear, how to not do, how to do something stupid. So in the Hebrew thought, the concept of following instructions is expressed through several related verbs that together form a biblical idea of obedient covenantal living. Hebrew thought is action-oriented. So following instructions means hearing, guarding, and doing God's word. So the first word is Shema, S-A-M-A. It means to listen, to hear, to obey. This is arguably one of the most important Hebrew words for following God's instructions, because it means to hear, listen attentively, to pay attention, to obey. So in Hebrew thinking, to truly hear means to respond with obedience. If someone heard but did not obey, did they really hear? I mean, think about your own kids. You'll say, "Hey, Shiloh, go clean your room. Jaden, go do the dishes. Max, take out the trash." But if they don't do it, but this is what they all say. "Yeah, I hear you. My kids all do that. Hey, did you go do this?" "Yeah, I heard. I know." I get that a lot. But then I'll go down a few minutes later. "No, dishes are done. Trash not taken out. Room still a mess." "I thought you said you heard." "I did hear." "No, you didn't hear." Because hearing, truly hearing, means to respond with obedience. So if they heard, the dishes would have been done. Trash would have been taken out. So therefore, when God tells you something, "I heard you, God." "No, you didn't." Because if you heard him, if you hear what he's saying through his word, it would correlate with you doing an action, which is obeying. So therefore, I can say, "Did you really hear God?" I hear folks say stuff all the time. "Hey, I heard God," and I listen to them, and they tell me their spiel, and I'm like, "Yeah, you didn't, but you didn't hear nothing. You didn't hear Jack. You thought you heard." Or shall I say it this way? You heard, but you didn't really hear. You heard what God said, but you didn't obey. No different than a kid hearing what I said, "Go clean your room," and nothing is done. In Deuteronomy, I'll give you an example. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Hear, O Israel, hear is the hear, the Shema, the hear or listen." This is not listen to these words. It means hear them, receive them, obey them, and live them. This is why Jesus repeatedly says, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." So God is not impressed by information. God looks for transformation. Hearing is proven by obedience. I'll say that again. God is not impressed by information. Deanne can tell me, "Oh, this is what the Bible says in this, and oh, this is quantum physics." God is not impressed with that. Oh, man, she knows quantum physics. But what God is looking for is, do you hear my words, and does it bring transformation in your life? Let's just call for how it is. We've all been in church long enough. God does not care how much we know the word. Well, it says this in John 3:16, and it says this in Revelation. And he doesn't care what we know in Greek, Hebrew, Latin. What he cares about is, do you hear my words, and does it cause transformation in your life? I know a bunch of folks who quote scripture. I know pastors who can quote scripture. I know pastors who know Hebrew-ish. I know pastors who have big church. I know all these. I know a bunch of pastors. And guess what? There's no transformation. Hearing is proven by obedience. Another word. This word sounds like Shema, but it's Shamar. S-A-M-A-R. This means to guard, protect, keep, preserve, and observe carefully. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments. That's that word, keep. So the Hebrew picture is this. Imagine a shepherd guarding a sheep, or a soldier guarding a city gate, or someone practicing or protecting a priceless treasure. That is how Israel was to treat God's commands. Not casually, not occasionally, but carefully. So my question to you tonight is this. Do you treat God's commands casually? Do you treat his commands occasionally when they benefit you? Well, I really need breakthrough in my life. I need a blessing from God. So let me follow his statutes this week. Or do you follow him carefully? Another word that paints the picture of following instructions is the word asa. A-S-A. It means to do. God constantly says in the scripture, hear and do. You see, the Hebrew mind never separates learning from doing. Knowledge without action is incomplete. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32 says, you shall observe to do. So, are you doing what he says? You hear it, you guard it, and then you do it. And then the last one here is the word halak. H-A-L-A-K. It means to walk, to live, or conduct oneself. Deuteronomy chapter 5:33 says, and you shall walk in all the ways. In other words, following God's instructions is pictured as walking down a path. So here is the flow as a Hebrew, and even as we hear God's command, this is the flow. You hear, you guard, you do, and then you walk. That's the biblical pattern of discipleship. You hear, you guard, you do, and then you walk. I don't see anybody just sitting, I hear it, and not do. You do, you hear, you guard, you do, and you walk. You see, in Western thinking, our progression is this. You learn, and then you know, and then maybe we'll start to believe. So we learn something. Okay, we're learning the scripture. Now I know it. Okay, now I'll put it into action. In other words, I believe. But in Hebrew thinking, it's I hear, I obey, I experience, and I understand. In other words, truth was validated by faithful practice, not by mere intellectual agreement. Does that make sense, and does everybody understand? give me, give me 5-10 minutes. Let me finish this section, and then that'll be it for tonight. I still got more, but I don't want y'all going home choking. That was too much. The Lord's like, we're just going to stop right here. So, God never gives instructions merely to inform us. He gives instructions, you ready for this? To transform us. That's some good meat right there, Josh. That's some good. That right there will give you that stank face. Everybody know what the stank face is? I don't know the young people. When you hear a good beat, us millennials know that. You hear a good beat and you're like this. That's good. God never gives instructions merely to inform us. He gives instructions to transform us. So in Hebrew thought, hearing without obeying is not hearing, guarding without doing is not guarding, and knowing without walking is not knowing. The person who truly follows God's instruction hears his voice, guards the word that God gave, does what he commands, and walks in his way. This progression captures the covenantal pattern of faithful living revealed throughout the Old Testament. So, from a biblical perspective, people fail to follow instructions for both spiritual and human reasons. Scripture consistently teaches that the deepest issue is not a lack of information, but it's a problem with the heart. It's a problem with our will. Let me give you these few and then we'll be done. So in other words, why do people not want to follow instructions? It's really that simple. God's given you instructions to transform you. He gives you instructions to keep you safe. He gives you instructions because, hey, you just follow these instructions. Life is good. So therefore, why do people want to do their own thing? Well, pride. When you have pride, you have the word or the phrase, I know better. Pride resists being told what to do. God gives you a command. Pride doesn't say, I know what to do. That's that famous word, I know. I hear that so much. Man, it pisses me off. I know. No, you don't know. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. A proud person often believes, I already know that. Guess what? You got folks who go into Bible school, deal with this all the time. You got Christians who go to Bible school. You got Christians who've been in the Word, old saints who've been in the Word all the time. You try to tell them, hey, you're living raggedy. I already know that. No, you don't. That's why your life is raggedy. Or they'll say, my way is better. And that's why you're on your third marriage. Oh, okay, yeah, your way's better. That's why you broke. Yeah, your way's better. Oh, here's a good one. Oh, here's a good one. No one needs to tell me. Calm down. No one needs to tell me. You see, this was Satan's downfall. And it's a recurring problem with Israel. No one needs to. Pride. That's what got Satan thrown out. Pride. Number two. Unbelief. They don't trust the instruction. People may understand the instruction, but doubt the one giving it. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18 and 19 says, And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believeth not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. You see, Israel heard God's instruction, but they did not trust his promises enough to obey. Unbelief. And I've heard that. At least I have folks that have been truthful, been straight up. I just don't believe that God would do this for me. Well, thank you for being truthful. We've all been there where we've wrestled with unbelief. I know God's telling me to give this financial, this money to the church. I just don't believe he's going to give it back. Or I just don't believe he's going to take care of me. So you don't do what he asks you to do. We need to get out of the place of unbelief. Follow the instructions. It's really that simple. Follow the instructions and you will be good. Number three, love of self. Oh, here's that will again. Here's that natural man again. Following instruction often requires surrendering personal desires. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if any will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Many rejected instruction because obedience costs something. Your flesh, your will, your natural man has a desire and wants to do what he wants to do. So therefore you have the love of self. Well, I want to be this or I want to be that. I don't know if I want to trust God with this. I don't want to follow his instructions because following instructions is and will cost you something. Number four, straight up old rebellion. Sometimes people simply do not want authority over them. Just plain and simple. We have laws in the land here, and guess what? You still have muggers, you still got murders, you got bank robbers. Why? Because you got rebellion. People just want to do what they want to do. In the Old Testament, it's often Israel is also described as rebellion, rebellious, to rebel, resist, resistance to God's authority, his precepts, what he said, what he commanded. Psalm 78 says, a stubborn and rebellious generation. You see, rebellion is not ignorance. It is resistance despite knowing what is right. They knew. Your kids know when you tell them no or you tell, they know they ain't stupid. But when they do it anyways, that's just straight up rebellion. It's not that they didn't know. They just, I don't want to listen to you. How do I know? I've been there. I was a rebellious kid. My dad would be like, yeah, you rebel. I told you to do a lot of stuff. You did it anyway. Yes, sir. Number five, almost finished. Let me wrap this up. And then next week, we'll get to the application and we'll finish this up. Lack of fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord produces teachability. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The Hebrew word for instruction here, it's referring to discipline, correction, and training. So a person who rejects correction ultimately rejects wisdom. Number six, distraction and double-mindedness. People often hear instruction but become distracted. Jesus illustrated this with the parable of the sower. Luke 8:14, it says, the cares and riches of and pleasures of this life. The instruction is received, but never reaches maturity because competing priorities crowd it out. I've been there. God's woken me up before. Hey, Josh, why don't you go read your Bible? Go do this. Go spend some time with me. And I get up and I'm walking to my office. But on the way between my bed, putting my contacts in and getting to my office, something somebody might call. I might see something that needs to be fixed. Something distracts me, and I get distracted. Number seven, they hear, but they do not truly, and we spoke about this already, they hear, but not truly hear. From a Hebrew perspective, again, hearing without obedience is incomplete. Real listening results in action. That is why God repeatedly says, "Hear, O Israel." This is a call to obedient response, not mere auditory attention. Last one, lack of humility. A teachable spirit receives instruction. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes." Man, my dad taught me this one a lot. My dad used to read this one to me a lot. "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Humility says, "I may not understand everything, but I trust the wisdom of the one giving the instruction." And that's all I'm going to give you tonight. You want the rest? You got to come back next week. That's it. So in closing for tonight, it's really simple. Are you following instructions? Are you hearers of the word and not a doer? Or are you hearer of the word and a doer? We have to hear, which should cause us to do. So my question or my statement is this, and I've told my whole family, I tell this to everybody, Tiffany, Caleb, Dakota, Asher, Shiloh, if you're in my family, you've heard me say this in one form or fashion at one point in time. Hey, usually I'm upset. Hey, just follow the instruction. It's that simple. Daddy, this is messed up. Follow the instruction. We don't follow the instruction. And guess what? I've had Pastor Daryl. Josh, follow the instruction. But I follow the... Oh, yes, sir. Took me a while. And that's all God's saying. Guys, and we'll go through the application. We'll finish up next week. This is all I can give you for tonight. But God wants us to follow instruction because his instructions are going to transform you. Paul says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The only way we transform and get a renewed mind is if we follow the instructions. Stop trying to bypass God. Stop trying to look for an exemption. Stop trying to look for a hack. Stop trying to look for a side street, an easier way. Just follow the instruction. It's very simple. I'll leave you with this. When you bake a cake, when you follow the instructions to the T, to the letter, the cake comes out right. If you're cooking food, you follow the instruction, it comes out right. What happens when you try to bypass an instruction? You mess it all up. Well, you know what? I don't want to put yeast in because I ain't got time to put yeast in and let it rise and do all this. So I'm just going to do it like this. Well, I don't put this ingredient in the cake or this ingredient in the food. You mess it up and it tastes like crap. And then now you're upset. I put all that work in and it didn't come out right. You have nobody to blame but yourself. All you had to do was follow the instructions. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, which is the instruction manual to life, instruction manual for this machine that you have created. Father, for us that are here today and at the sound of my voice, Lord, forgive us for not following the instructions, thinking that we know better, whether it be to pride, whether it be to unbelief, whatever the excuse may be, forgive us for those excuses. Father, today we calls us to follow the instructions to the letter. Because your instructions are not to harm us. It's not to keep blessing from us, but it's literally to transform us. When we follow your instruction, life just operates right. But when we get into our will, when we do what we want to do, Lord, we have a good, Lord, we're good at messing things up. So, Father, this evening, I ask that we would take the words that were said this evening. Lord, these aren't words of man, but Lord, these are from you. And that we would take, we'd internalize, that we would take, we would hear, we would guard, and then we would do. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, forgive us for thinking that we can do this on our own. Now, Master, as we go home, give us traveling grace and mercy as we go home. Lord, be with those who weren't able to make it due to ailments or travel, Lord. And we ask that tonight, that even as that you would help us to prepare our hearts, that we would even tonight be preparing our hearts for what you have to say tomorrow morning at everybody's church. Lord, speak to the ministers who's going to be running Sunday school and to Pastor Darrell who's going to bring the word. Lord, give them strength and let them hear from you, Lord. And let us be prepared for what you have to say tomorrow. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen, and amen. All right. That's all I got for you tonight. We'll be here next week. We'll finish this up. And hopefully start getting into, next week we'll finish up. We'll give you some practical application on how to follow instruction, and we'll finish this up. And then we're just going to have a good time with the Lord. All right, love you guys. We will see y'all later.